Hi, welcome to the Bucko Fever podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Franson. I'm back. Thanks for giving it a listen, giving it another try. As many of you are, were aware and noticed, I was pretty MIA last season. From the beginning to the end of the season, I had something going on in my, personal life that required more of my attention than normal. One of those life events. My mom passed away in October. She was in the hospital pretty much from, I actually got the call that she was going into the hospital when it was on the way home from the home opener. Yeah, it was in that time frame, but it went from, I did get to go to the home opener, didn't get to go to any other games, got to pay attention to the season. I did watch, or listen to pretty much every single game. But otherwise it was a lot of, helping where I could, taxiing my dad, to visit and visiting her myself and just all that stuff. Being an adult is not always fun. Sometimes you have to put aside things that aren't as important. Unfortunately this kind of fell into that category. I would start to record an episode. I have so many saved openings and by the time I got to come back and try to finish it, a week or two had gone by. So I tried to start fresh and it just never worked. So, now hopefully I don't have anything life impacting in that kind of way happen this year. So really, this is fun for me. After you lose a loved one, you got to go back to find those things that are fun. And this is one of them. So, again, thanks for tuning back in. I'm really hoping and really hopeful that I can go this season to be more consistent with content, getting more episodes out. So the Buckos. In this episode, I really kind of want to look at and talk about the off season. What have they done? My thoughts on the transactions, where do they go from here? There's a lot that still needs to be done, I think. Maybe not a lot, but some. I think the roster is relatively set. I'll talk about some of that stuff moving forward. As we get ready for spring training and then the season. So that's today. So, the Pirates, went into this offseason, really kind of talking a big game, but, you heard a lot how it was time to contend, like the future's now, let's go spend some money. And for them, they did, but it's, nobody is like super pumped about most of what the Pirates have done so far. This offseason. However, they did get some useful pieces. The big concern going into this season for me, especially after, Oviedo ended up being out and losing like the, Burrows last year and, having those guys, go down for Tommy John and being out for a significant amount of time, it really affects the depth, of the Pirates pitching. And that needed to be addressed. I mean, JT Brubaker is another one. He's not going to be back until, sometime this season. So that left them really with just Mitch Keller and a host of question marks. You had your people who were guys who had already been on the roster, Bailey Falter, Quinn Priester, Ronzi Contreras, those guys saw action last year to mixed results. They're still going to be in the mix, but what the Pirates did, they went out and they filled in those holes with veteran talent. You know, some guys a tad on the downtick, you know, coming off, you know, a little bit of a less productive year than what they experienced in 2022. However, you know, they went out and they got Martin Perez from the Rangers. You know, signed him to that one-year deal. Brings a nice veteran left-handed arm into that mix. Perez had kind of an up-and-down year last year. Overall, his numbers aren't terrible. You know, he was 10-4, 4.45 ERA with a 1.4 whip. Not the best, you know, not the worst either. You know, coming off of 2022, he was at 12-8 with a 2.89 ERA, but that was, you know, by far the best year of his career. So, you know, coming off in a career year, you know, at the age of 30 or whatever, you know, you don't really have a whole lot of room to you know, go up. Like, that's rare, you know, that happens. But, you know, he had a great year. And then last year he got hit a little bit, saw some time in the pen. You know, 15 of his appearances came out of the pen. But he's gonna be in the rotation for sure. Nice veteran left-handed arm. I'm okay with that. Obviously, you know, we'd love for them to spend a little bit more. And who says they're not done? Like, that's the whole thing. There's still a lot of time left. You know, as we've, you know, seen over the past handful of years, you know, as you get closer and closer to opening day, bigger names start signing. I mean, we're just today, Clayton Kershaw signed. So, you know, that's a pretty big name. Now, albeit with health problems and, you know, age and everything, you know, still able to go back to the Dodgers. So deals are still going to get done. Trades are still going to get made. Just saw the Corbin Burns trade made, you know, the other day. So, you know, I think the Pirates are still going to be in the mix for an upgrade somewhere. One of the other guys they brought in was Marco Gonzalez. Marco Gonzalez, for me, is very similar to Perez. Marco had a worse year than Perez, but, you know, he didn't play a lot. He only started 10 games, 4-1 record, 5.22 ERA, 1.46 whip. You know, could be better, but again, it's very, very small sample size. And if you're looking, you know, going back to 2022, you know, his ERA was 4.13, 1.33 whip. Opponents batted 271 against him, so they still hit him, but he was able to, you know, keep that ERA, you know, down to, you know, just slightly above four. You know, before that, 2021, 2020, 2019, and even 2018, you know, ERA four and under. So, you know, he's probably, you know, on the downside, but, you know, a player to be named later for, you know, that type of arm. If he stays healthy, he's going to eat some innings for the Pirates and give them some quality outings. So, again, I'm okay with that. Like, I think bringing those two guys in will make, you know, a world of difference. You know, they're solid starting pitchers. So, like, what does that do to the rest of this rotation? Well, it opens up a competition for guys like Bailey Falter, Ronzi Contreras, you know, Quinn Priester, Jackson Wolf, maybe on the outside there. But, you know, that's kind of all they got. I mean, they have, they did sign a couple guys to minor league deals. Michael Plassmeyer might fall into that category as, like, a, you know, a fringe starter. But, you know, everybody else is pretty young. You know, all the non-roster guys that they've invited, all pretty young or, you know, bullpen arms. You know, we're going to see Skeens at some point. We're going to see probably Jared Jones at some point. Maybe Solometto, you know, at the big league level. Braxton Ashcraft is an intriguing arm. And I haven't really seen their plan for him going forward. But I wouldn't be surprised we see him in Pittsburgh this season. He pitched very well last year, you know, looking at that, you know, coming back from Tommy John, keeping him in that mix, you know, on an innings limit. So I got to see him pitch, you know, for Altoona. He looked real good. So hopefully that arm just keeps getting stretched out if they're going that route. You know, so, and then I think I mentioned, but Mitch Keller, of course, is anchoring that thing. So the rotation is still a question mark. Luis Ortiz is another name you can mix in there. I don't know where they go there. I think if I were going off of that list, you know, a lot of it depends on the spring. If Quinn Priester has a solid spring, I would want to break camp with him. If he doesn't, you know, then I'm looking at probably Falter to fill in. Or like my big hope is if Priester doesn't start the season, you know, in that rotation, that Ronzi Contreras has really improved and gotten back into that groove that he was in, you know, 2 years ago, you know, looking like a future rotation guy for the Pirates moving forward. I'd be okay if they plant him there and, you know, give him a shot. Again, kind of depends on what his spring looks like. So I'd love the Pirates to bring in somebody else. I haven't really seen their name connected to anybody, any starting pitching lately. That doesn't mean they're not. There's, you know, still guys out there. So we'll see what happens on that front. You know, they also brought in some help, you know, in the bullpen. And this is a tough one. Like, I don't know how to feel about this. You know, Aroldis Chapman. On one hand, never could stand the guy. On the other hand, dominant. So dominant. And to put him in that bullpen, the back of that bullpen has, and just the bullpen in general, has a lot of potential. You know, you've got Bednar closing it out, Chapman setting them up. Behind that, you've got, you know, Holderman left from the left side, you know, to complement Chapman. You got Baruki. You know, you're going to have Jose Hernandez in the mix. I thought he had a really nice showing last year. I didn't think there were even a whole lot of growing pains with him where you're saying, oh, he's definitely going to start the year in AAA. I don't know. I thought he was pretty good. So, like, you know, you have Majinski, who looked great last year as a setup man. And then, of course, Colin Selby, you know, throwing the gas. So, you know, oh, and Moreta. I forgot Dari Moreta. You got him in that mix, too. Like, this pen is strong. You know, the bullpen and relievers in general, you know, you always have a guy that falls flat after looking good. You know, there's always people that you know, surprise you. You know, so if one of these guys fall flat, you know, it's not good, but it's not the worst thing that can happen because you have all these other arms. And then, you know, they did invite a couple guys to spring training that I feel could fall into that mix, like Ben Heller, Ryan Ryder, Hunter Stratton, you know, brought him back on a minor league deal. He looked okay when he was up last year. And then Michael Plassmeyer, if they decide to go that route. And then again, whoever doesn't make that rotation out of Falter and Contreras, I think the other one will most likely go to the pen. Falter, I think for sure will go to the pen. Gives him a lot of left-handed arms out there. So, you know, maybe that does bump Jose Hernandez down to AAA. You know, I feel like this bullpen is a really good place for the Pirates to deal from. It's definitely one of their strengths. You know, they're going to have other guys coming up who, you know, pitch themselves out of being a starter. You know, the old failed starting pitcher, you know, becoming, you know, a reliever. And, you know, they have quite a few already. But, you know, there's more coming. So, like, there's going to be a pretty constant feed of live arms, young live arms, coming up for this through this system for, you know, the foreseeable future. I would think they could trade from this group to bring in something, whether it be go out and get another starter or go out and get another bat, you know, a first baseman or, you know, another outfielder maybe. I don't know. But the one guy, like, I would be curious to see, and his name did come up in trade rumors last year, is Colin Holderman. I'd like to see, like, what the market for a Colin Holderman type guy looks like. Holderman is my guy that, you know, I worry about. There's always one guy in the pen when he comes in, I kind of worry about him. And while Holderman was pretty solid last year, towards the end of the season, it looked kind of shaky. I mean, to finish the year, he was had a 3.86 ERA with 1.34 WHIP in over 56 innings. 58 Ks. He walked 20. You know, not good numbers overall, but there was just something, and it could just be me, but it was something about him. Where I'm just like, okay, he could blow up here. So, again, if I'm wrong, awesome, and you have a great arm out there in the pen. If I'm not, you know, I really would like for them to explore the trade market. I think, you know, package Holderman with a prospect, you could get somebody of use. You know, even go get somebody, get a block prospect. I've said it before, you know, last year and the season before, I believe even, Spencer Horvitz, from Toronto is a first baseman who's kind of blocked a little bit. So he's a guy I would like to see them, you know, pull in somehow, or, you know, somebody like that, like just a block prospect, see what they can do here. So that takes me to the position players. So to bolster that bench a little bit, they went out and signed Ali Sanchez as a catching option, give him a little depth there. You know, looking at the catchers, I don't know how he makes this team. if you're saying that, you know, you're looking at Henry Davis to be catching a lot more, I think Jason DeLay more than earned his spot last year. You know, and being Mitch Keller, you know, his personal catcher, I thought he did a great job. And, you know, as a backup, you know, good defensive numbers, you know, I liked him a lot. I think, you know, if Henry Davis is going to catch, are you really going to carry three catchers? We'll see. And then, you know, they went out and they signed Rowdy Tellez. I like the signing. I don't think he is your number one everyday first baseman or DH. You know, maybe platoon him somewhere, you know, platoon him with somebody, but they haven't brought that somebody in. So whether they're thinking, hey, we're good with maybe Triolo, maybe Connor Joe, probably Connor Joe. But, yeah, I would still like to go out, see them go out and get another bat. You know, rumors have, you know, gone around that they have been in contact and are interested in Gary Sanchez. Maybe this is the only thing I could really think of, is maybe they're going to platoon him at first or DH. And then, of course, I just saw, you know, the rumor that they were connected to Tony Kemp, He's not going to play first base, but I don't really see where he fits in here. You know, the big question mark on this team for me, outside of the rotation, is second base. Second base is there for the taking. They have some of their better prospects, or, you know, guys that were top prospects and then made their debuts last year. You know, they have a intriguing group of guys in that mix to possibly play second base. I don't know who's going to win that thing. You know, if you go with Bay, you got the speed. Wasn't really impressed with his defense. You know, also didn't put the bat on the ball as much as you would like to see from, you know, your speedy second baseman. I mean, he hit .231. Not great. OPS of .607. You know, he's stole 24 bases. Like, the speed's there. He just needs to get on base a little more. You have Nick Gonzalez, who, again, like the others, came up, had a nice little run, and also had those valleys where there wasn't a whole lot going on. You know, he did end up only hitting .209 with a 6.16 OPS. Couple homers. You could add Jared Triolo to that mix, you know, being that super sub type guy, could play anywhere in the infield, probably corner outfield. Leover Peguero, just like the other guys, you know, he came up, had a hot streak and also very long cool streaks. So he was looking at .237 last year with an OPS of .654. Had seven homers, though, which I thought was pretty impressive, being that one of the knocks on him was power. You know, coming up, they weren't sure how much of that was going to develop. I think seven home runs is pretty nice over 198 at bats for a middle infielder. I could talk about Alika Williams. I just don't see him in the mix. He's going to be in AAA or, you know, possibly DFA'd at some point to make room on this roster. He's the next logical DFA candidate, unless they decide to do it with, like, Ali Sanchez or Delay, and I don't see that happening. I think second base is intriguing. My personal opinion, I'd probably go Peguero. I want to see Nick Gonzalez play more. Like, that's, so I'm torn between those two. G1 Bay would be my third. I like him because he can play center field. He's got that ability. He didn't look great out there at all times, you know, last year. So they've got a tough decision here. And, you know, whoever, you know, isn't chosen will go down to AAA and probably absolutely kill it. So there's that. you know, and then of course, shortstop, you got O'Neill Cruz. O'Neill Cruz is the linchpin here. He is what is going to put this team onto the next level. I think what the Pirates have done this offseason, they've really done a lot to field a competitive team. They could have done more and could do more still. But I think a lot of their decision making has got a hinge on O'Neill Cruz. If O'Neill Cruz stays healthy next year, this season, and clicks, you know, I thought he was looking solid, you know, in his nine games that he played last year. He was hit .250, only had one home run, but a .750, you know, OPS. Very small sample size. But, like, I feel like he was starting to come on, and then he got hurt. I think if you have that healthy O'Neill Cruz giving you 25 home runs or more, this team at shortstop, you know, from the shortstop position, this team's on a different level. If O'Neill Cruz comes out and, you know, doesn't any kind of flops or gets hurt again, you know, then you move Peguero over, Gonzalez at second, or, you know, Bay at second, Peguero at short. You know, they have other options, but they don't have that power. That's what O'Neill Cruz brings, is that pop. So that, a lot of what happens this year is all about O'Neill Cruz. You know, switching to the outfield, you know, a couple additions out there. Edward Olivares was picked up from Kansas City. Olivares is 27. You know, he's appeared in 230 major league games since 2020. Career, he's a 261 hitter, 736 OPS. He has 24 home runs over his career, including 12 last year, where he hit 263, 769 OPS. You know, I think if you platoon him with Palacios, it's an interesting mix. Palacios came on last year, looked okay. You know, 10 home runs, 239 average, 692 OPS. Obviously, you'd like to see a little bit, him hit a little bit more than what he did. But, you know, he was decent. Like, I had no complaints over Josh Palacios. Do I want to make him a centerpiece of a cornerstone of the franchise? No. But I think those two platooning knocks Connor Joe to first base, or platooning as well in that mix with, you know, with those two guys. And then, of course, you have Brian Reynolds probably in left and Sawinski probably in center. Jack Sawinski is another one. If he continues to improve, yeah, he's got a lot of potential. He's got a lot of pop. We've seen it. We need to see more out of him. So, you know, we'll see. And then, of course, the signing everybody knew was going to happen, Andrew McCutchen. Bringing back Andrew McCutchen is huge for morale, big for the fan base. You know, it's needed. And it wasn't like he was unproductive last year. He had a solid year until he got hurt, you know, missed out on hitting that historic 300 career home run there in Pittsburgh, or, you know, yeah, for the Pirates. So, you know, he's gonna play probably every day, whether it be at DH or the outfield. I know they did say that the thought was he would play a little bit more outfield than he did last year. You know, that would be, you know, fine. Mix him in the right field. You know, switch out Palacios or Olivares, or put him in left and move Reynolds to center. You know, if you are facing a really tough left-hander, you know, the guy still hits left-handed pitching. So he's definitely, you know, a valuable piece. You know, he wants to be here. He wants to be in Pittsburgh for them to field a winning team. I don't know how many years he's got left and how, you know, until that production dips, I'm sure the Pirates would be happy to, you know, bring him back on the cheap. Until, you know, again, numbers dip or something else better arrives up through the system. So I you know, mentioned as I went, like, there's a lot, there's other moves this team can make. I don't think they're done. I think, you know, minor league signings are going to happen. You know, they did have a couple interesting ones. I mentioned the pitchers that they brought in on those minor league deals. You know, that the only one that, like, I think was, you know, would be any kind of convenience that would help at all is Jake Lamb. I'm not expecting a lot there. It'd be awesome if Jake Lamb all of a sudden put it back together. I liked him a lot coming up in Arizona. Just the bottom dropped out for him. I don't expect it to rebound. I don't expect him to, you know, see Pittsburgh at all this year. But it'd be a little bonus if he did, because I think he, you know, he's one of those guys that had the potential, just bottom dropped out. But there's plenty of free agents out there still. You know, I don't know. You know, like I said, you know, the Pirates are said to be interested in Gary Sanchez. They seem to be interested in Tony Kemp. I don't like either of those moves per se. Sanchez, if he is cheap, you know, if you can get him on even a minor league deal, or, you know, just a 1 year cheap deal, give him a shot at DHing, mix him in behind the plate if you have to. Because I think that's the only way you carry three catchers, is if you have a guy with some kind of bat that could mix into, you know, spell Kutch at DH, you know, if he's dealing with, you know, something, and or even just play, even just, you know, DH more often, you know, fill in at catcher here and there. But, you know, I'd much rather move forward with Henry Davis and Jason DeLay. I really want to see what Henry Davis has behind the plate. Because we know Endy's gonna out. We won't see him until next year, which is really unfortunate. But that's, you know, that's why Ben Sherrington went out, made all these trades to really build this depth. It's not always the most popular move, but I think he did a relatively good job building depth. I think right now what we're seeing is some of the guys that he picked up in certain trades are now being pushed off the roster by better talent. Kanan Smith and Jigba was a good example. You know, he was given a small look at the big league level, didn't really do much to capitalize on that. So now they're, you know, kind of stuck. It's like, you know, you got to look at the roster and see where the depth is, where the weakest link is. You know, and they had to just figure it was, you know, Kanan Smith and Jigba. I'm hoping he clears. I don't know that he will, because I still think he could be a decent fourth outfield bat. He's real athletic, so I'm hoping he slips through. But if he doesn't, you know, hopefully they can trade him for something. Thing with him is he is out of options, and with what he showed in the big leagues, I don't know that too many teams are going to take a chance there. So I think he has a good chance of slipping through, but we'll see. But Gary Sanchez, you know, power, not a lot of defense. You know, over the last, other than 2020, you know, he had 10 home runs in 2020. Every other year's been around 20. And, you know, he saw his plate appearances drop, you know, over that time. You know, last year, you know, he wasn't a starter. You know, he was terrible for the Mets. And then, you know, went to San Diego and was okay in San Diego. You know, that average is still pretty low. Strikes out a ton. Actually, he doesn't strike out. Yeah, he strikes out a lot. But he's got that pop. Always think of Dan Vogelbach, except Gary Sanchez doesn't walk like Vogelbach did. I would have loved to see them, you know, swing a trade for a starter, you know, somewhere along the lines. I still think they might. But, you know, I think right now you're just looking minor league option, minor league free agents. You're looking at, you know, if they could get another innings eater, I think that'd be great for them. I would love to see them get somebody under team control for another year or two. Because I really think this year is building closer. I think 2025, we're going to see a wave of prospects that are really going to change this team. They've got some really good live arms coming up. And, you know, if you do get to watch or listen to the spring training games, you're going to hear and see quite a few of them. You know, Bubba Chandler, Thomas Harrington, Skeens, of course, Solometto, Jared Jones. You know, you're going to get a good look at some of these guys, because these are the guys we're going to see, you know, moving forward. I think before the end of the season, wouldn't be shocked if, you know, if they're out of contention, if the only one still in that rotation from the beginning of the season was Mitch Keller. You know, whether guys have moved to the pen to make way for these guys or been traded. But, you know, you've got Quinn Priester, Contreras. I'm not counting him out yet. You know, those guys I mentioned. So, you know, that's a wave. Like, they're getting closer. You know, you have Tamar Johnson, still pretty low. You'll get to see him in spring training. Jack Brannigan, who's an interesting guy to watch. Get to see him in spring training. Matt Gorski, for me, this is a make or break year for Matt Gorski. You know, he needs to hit consistently at AAA, and then I wouldn't be shocked if he's playing first base and platooning with Rowdy Tellez at some point, if they don't go out and get somebody else, or even if they do go out and get somebody else. You know, Gorski's one. I still think he will find his way onto this roster. Just a matter of when and where. Like, where is he going to play? You know, if he hits a AAA, I think they definitely give him a look. But yeah, I think, you know, we're a week away from spring training. It's a lot of fun to think about. I'm ready for it. So, you know, we'll see what happens between now and then. So that's the episode for today, the first episode of 2024. I'm really hoping you guys continue to listen. I get it if you don't. I was gone for a while. And that really sucked. But I'm back. I'm going to try to shake off the rust. I know this episode may lean a little bit on the rambling side in some spots, but again, it's been a while. Shaking it off, trying to remember how I structured things and, you know, planning things out a little better. But I want to do some fun stuff this year. So, you know, keep listening. You know, we'll see what the Pirates do between here and spring training. Otherwise, again, thanks for tuning in. Thank you for waiting out the wait. And, you know, as always, have a good one.